The January 6th committee and its evidence, from social media to security cameras. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Last night, the House Select Committee investigating the attack on the Capitol started showing the evidence it's been gathering about who knew what and when. To build that case and tell the story, members are relying on all sorts of technology: video footage, social media communication, and text messages. Alex Howard is director of the Digital Democracy Project. He says a major focus in all this is the role social media and virtual communication played before, during, and after the attack.
What we saw is something quite different in modern times, which is a seditious conspiracy planned out and implemented in the open. There's a great deal of open source intelligence that journalists, analysts, other people could see in the months leading up to January 6th. What we're going to, I think, have more understanding of over the next couple of weeks is the extent to which the people at the tech companies and people in government can now understand what happened on private timelines, along with the groups and the tweets that we could all see in public.
The Department of Justice is using a geofence warrant. Can you explain what that is and how common it is?
Based upon what we understand it's increasingly common. It's a legal request to provide information about where a given device was at a given time. So to essentially to say, here's a geographic area, which devices were there and when. And for people who are interested in understanding what happened in the days before January 6th and then on that day itself, those are quite pertinent. You know, the reality is that data from our devices is a tell. And we can and should expect that data to be held against us in a court of law, whether it's a Fitbit, or an Apple Watch, a smartphone, or anything else that's talking to the internet around us, or sensors that are following us. And the geofencing warrants, if your device is inside of the Capitol, your claim in court or to the public that you weren't there might be contradicted.
The Select Committee sent data requests to a number of tech companies, from Google to 4chan. What was the committee looking for?
One might be the content of messages. The other might be metadata, the relationships of different accounts to each other, to understand which accounts were the center of different networks of people organized and self-organizing, directing actions. And then the third is what the staff at the companies themselves knew in the moment.
How have these tech companies responded to the requests?
We don't know entirely. There's a request to Twitter to get access to internal Slack messages between staff, perhaps interested in some of these questions. I believe Twitter is fighting that. And until the committee sort of shows its work to us a lot more and the companies come forward to say, this is what we shared, this is what we didn't, and why, you and I and everyone else will be trying to figure that out together.
As you mentioned, some of the social media content posted on platforms like Twitter and Facebook is public. And some of the communications leading up to January 6th also happened on encrypted messaging platforms. What have we, and I guess the committee, learned about which types of virtual communications are privileged and which are not through all of this?
The question of what's sort of in people's direct messages, for instance, is a pretty interesting one. We all are very familiar with President Trump's tweets, but we don't know very much at all about his direct messages or whether he used that part of the platform at all. And you can't necessarily know about content if something's encrypted unless you're able to compromise one of the two ends of it. But if you were able to get access to something, then the question of privilege is a legal one, not a technical one.
Alex Howard is director of the Digital Democracy Project. And now for some related links. If you missed yesterday's hearing, there's plenty of coverage on your local public radio station. The unedited recording is available on C-SPAN, and we'll have a link on our website, marketplacetech.org. Alex mentioned that Twitter was fighting the Select Committee's request for internal communications. That was reported by Rolling Stone magazine, and we'll link to that story as well. Twitter didn't get back to us ahead of our deadline, but told Rolling Stone it has an ongoing productive engagement with the Select Committee and has provided appropriate, relevant information to contribute to this important investigation. We talked earlier about geofencing, which is one of several tools the Department of Justice is using in its concurrent investigation into the January 6 attacks. On the one-year anniversary of the insurrection, I spoke with Michigan State University's Anjana Susarla about the tech being used by the DOJ, as well as individuals and groups online, to track down the people who assaulted Capitol Police and attempted to disrupt the electoral count. We'll include a link to that conversation. According to the Associated Press, more than 800 people have been charged so far in that ongoing investigation. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, and Daniel Shin produce our show. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. Amanda Peacher is our interim senior producer. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.